Okay. So no, we cannot do that. It is not permissible. It is not permissible to say, okay, I will not liken it to Allah's creation, but let me think of something fresh, something new no one ever thought of before. We say, even if you spend the rest of your life imagining, you would be wrong. And you would be attributing to Allah a hand which He did not tell you about, nor did He show you, nor did He describe for you. So on what basis are you assuming that Allah's hand looks like this or looks like that? So even that is not permissible. Okay? We just don't imagine. There are some things which you don't imagine. One of them is Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fourth principle, what may be used to refute those who commit ta'til. Ta'ayn ta'ya'lam. Ta'til. It comes in the Quran in a different form of the word, with a different derivative. Does anyone know where and what the word is? I know this is a very difficult question, but it's worth a try. بئر معطلة or بئر معطلة. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, بئر is a well. You know, the well where you take out water. معطلة. Nowadays, in our language today, they say السيارة معطلة. The car is broken. The car is dysfunctional. The car is not working. So one of the meanings of ta'til is to prevent something from being effective. Preventing the effectiveness of something. The mu'attila are those who practice ta'til. Those who commit ta'til are those ones who reject anything from the names and attributes of Allah and distort the texts from their literal meanings. They are also known as the ones who commit ta'wil. Ta'wil. Ta'wa with a hamza ya'lam. Distorted interpretation. The fundamental principle by which we may refute them is to say that their statements, number one, are in contradiction to what is literally apparent from the text. Let me explain. Who the mu'attila are? The mu'attila are a bunch of individuals from among the Muslims who thought they were very intelligent, more than they should be. So they said, according to our logic, anything which we believe doesn't fit Allah's majesty and attributes or greatness, we will deny it. How will we deny it? Will we take it from the Quran? No. We will not take out the text from the Quran. We will keep it in the Quran. But we will say that the meaning is not that. The meaning of the verse is not what you think. There's another meaning. So they do ta'til of the text. Why? Because according to their mind, this could not be the attribute of Allah. Example. When we speak about the istiwa of Allah, the rising of Allah over the throne. Istiwa. Istiwa is the actual description. It's the noun. Istawa is the verb. Be careful. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. That's the verb. إِسْتِوَاءَ. With a hamza at the end is the noun. The concept of istiwa, they say, look, I don't know, I don't understand how you say Allah is rising over the throne. Okay, I don't think Allah needs a throne. This is their rationale. Their rationale is, I don't think Allah needs a throne, and I don't think Allah really rises over the throne, so the ayah doesn't mean that. So they do ta'til of the ayah. They first do ta'til of the ayah. Then they do ta'wil. They say no. What the ayah means, istiwa means istila. Istila is to overcome. When two armies fight against each other, or when one country invades another, this is called istila. Istawlu alayhim. Aw istawlu alayhim. They invaded them. They took over. So they say istiwa really means istila, meaning Allah took over the throne. Because they deny that Allah rose over the throne. We say this is incorrect. Because if Allah wanted to use the verb istawla, He would have used it. But He used istawa. And the verb istawa in the Arabic language has its clear meaning. Specifically, when it's followed by the preposition ala, on. لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ
When Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that riding over the animals or the sheep or whatever, so that you may rise over their backs. He said, "Tastawu ala," you may rise over, meaning you be above that thing. So the language doesn't entertain what they're saying. How do we refute them? Here are the things we say. Number one, you are contradiction. You are in contradiction to what is literally apparent from the text. And we said in the second or first principle that we have to accept the apparent meaning of the text. Face value. And now you're saying something which negates the apparent meaning of the text. Second, we say you are in contradiction to the understanding of the Salaf. Who are the Salaf? Are they a group? Are they a group? Trick question, huh? Are they a group?
No.
They're not? What are they?
They are Salaf.
They are Salaf? Wow. Okay. It is actually a group. Wait. No, 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 no. That's what I'm trying to aim at. They are a group, but not ones which call themselves by that name like we have today. Today we have people who visit this one website and listen to that one sheikh, and then they come say, oh no, you have to be Salafi, you have to call yourself Salafi, and they give you this whole headache, which we don't need. The Salaf are a group is in the sense that the Prophet ﷺ said that the Ummah will divide into 72 groups, or 73 groups, I'm sorry. All of them will be admitted to the fire except one. So that's one group. But that one group is extended from the time of the Sahaba until Yawm al-Qiyamah. It is not named by any specific name. We are known as Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, generally. But it is not a name or title which the people have misused today. We don't want to belong to any sects. You don't want to be part of this group or part of that group. We just want to be Muslims according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, with the understanding of the early generations, because they understood Islam the best. But we don't want to join any group. And be careful of I'm saying this because it may be relevant. Some of you may be new Muslims, but I think this is all the advanced. You will find people trying to invite you to a group. Come, join Tablighi Jama'at and this and that. Don't. Do not be a member of any group. Stick to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, no matter what they call themselves. So here, it's speaking about the Salaf, it's speaking about the generation. They are known as three generations. As-Sahaba, wa-Tabi'een, wa-Atba'u al-Tabi'een. The companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. 300 years, basically. The generation of the Prophet ﷺ, his Sahaba, then the generation which came after, and then the generation which came after. These three generations are known as the elite of Muslims in Islam. The best generations of Islam, because they were closest to the Prophet ﷺ, and they understood Islam the best. We try to follow their footsteps. Thirdly, do not have any authentic proof to support them. Do not have any authentic proof to support them. Meaning their ta'wil and their ta'til does not have any evidence for it. They say, oh, it doesn't mean that. The hand of Allah means the power of Allah. They say the hand of Allah means the power. They say Allah doesn't descend to the lowest heaven. His mercy descends to the lowest heaven. We say, what is your evidence for that? What is your proof for that? They have no proof. And if they were to say that, they will be denying the text of the Quran. If they were to say that only Allah's mercy descends at the lowest, at the last third of every night, that means that during other times, Allah's mercy is not there. And we know that Allah's mercy is descending upon us all the time. Otherwise, we would have been destroyed a long time ago. So all this is just really them complicating, simplified things. Turn over the page, barakallahu feekum, to page, it says 19 here, I don't know what it says on your book. ما في مشكلة. 8-9 as long as you read in the same text. How to believe in the names and attributes of Allah in the way that He described, or in the way that He prescribed, I'm sorry, without tahrif, tamthil, takif, and ta'til. I know these are all complicated words, but it's very important to know them. It's very important to know them. So be patient. Let's take them one at a time. We have to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal in the way that He prescribed. And we do so while observing that we will not do tahrif, which means distortion. And we will not do tamthil, which is resemblance or likening Allah to His creation. And we will not do takyif, which is, as we mentioned earlier, stating how. And we will not do ta'til, which is denial. Next Friday, inshallah, the one who memorizes these four will get nothing. Okay? I promise you. A big nothing. Inshallah, as big as I can carry it. Or you can want the ajr from Allah and get ajr from Allah even if I don't give you anything and memorize these four lovely words. Don't worry about those entering. If they need space, just move for them to come in, but you focus on what's being said, because I feel like I'm speaking to this wall in front of me. Tahrif is distortion. Tahrif, distortion. Tamthil is resembling or resemblance or likening. Takif is how. We invented a new English word, by the way. We called it howness. But you don't have to accept it. Howness. But it's not really an English word. You can say the manner, the manner. And ta'til is denial. We have to believe in what Allah said while making sure that we don't fall into any of these four traps. We affirm, we believe in what Allah said about Himself and what the Prophet said about Allah in the Quran and in the Sunnah, while making sure that we don't fall into any of these four traps of the shaitan. We do not do tahrif, we do not do tamthil, we do not do takif, and we do not do ta'til. We just don't. What does that mean? We will understand together. And from faith in Allah is faith in what He described Himself with in His book. And what the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam described Him with, without tahrif or ta'til, or without takif or tamthil. Commentary. Shaykh Salih Fawzan rahimahullah or hafidhahullah says, after the writer briefly mentioned the foundations that are obligatory to have faith in, he mentions them in a detailed way, and he begins with the first foundation, which is faith in Allah the Exalted. So he mentions that entering into it is faith in the attributes of Allah, which He described Himself with in His book, or those that He was described with by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in His Sunnah. So we affirm these for Him as they came in the book and the Sunnah with their terminology and meanings, without tahrif in their terminology or ta'til in their meanings. We will see the difference, inshallah. And without making tashbih for them with the attributes of the creation. First, tahrif. Alteration. What does alteration mean? The Bible. Is it altered? Are you all sure? 100%? No, wait. Maybe. The Old Testament and the New Testament, are they distorted, are they altered, or they're still intact like Allah revealed them? Altered. 100%. Anyone who denies that must be out of his mind. Why? Go to the bookstore. Go to the bookstore and get the different copies of the Bible from different publishers. Or get the old Bible and then the revised an edited version of the Bible, and you will find, whether you go into the Old Testament or the New Testament, verses are taken out and or inserted or translated or rearranged. In fact, on the most basic level, the Catholic Bible has 73 books and the Protestants has 66 books. 7 book discrepancy. A book not a page, not a word. If it was seven words, it would be a disaster. Seven words. Seven books between the two Bibles. And each one of them will swear to you by God, this is the word of God. They will stand on stage and swear that this is the word of God, like Jimmy Swagger. And if one verse, if one word that is there that shouldn't be there, he will stop believing in it. And then Ahmad did that, proved it to him the whole lecture. And at the end, he remained what he is. You see, because not that they don't know the truth, they just cannot take it. It will conflict with their worldly position and the dunya which they're accumulating from their religious status, which is the case with many. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. So ultimately the altering is change, and the Bible has been changed. Has the Quran been changed?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you ever read two versions of the Quran?
No. One version only.
Well wait, there are actually some Quran with a different mode of recitation. Okay? Which is like the way you pronounce particular words. Like, you know, warsh and the qira of warsh. That, but in terms of the language or the words or the Quran, you've never seen a Quran with 114 chapters and then 10 years later they say, oh, we made a revised version, so now it's only 113. Say, what happened to Surah An-Nas? They say, oh, we realize it's not part of the Quran, we took it out. That you will never happen. That you will never see, and it never happened, it will never happen. Because Allah promised to protect the Quran. So alteration then means to change. It is the distortion and disinclination of something from its apparent meaning. Sorry for the fancy words. It is said he altered such and such, so he distorted it. It is of two types. To distort is again to change and make a negative change actually. It's not even a positive change. Distortion is when you turn something good into something bad. The first type is tahrif in terminology. Tahrif in terminology. What is terminology? In what? In words. Because we will see there's one in meaning. Here in terminology, meaning in the word itself. Changing the word to other than its apparent meaning, either by adding a word, or by taking it out, or by deleting a diacritical mark. What is a diacritical mark? Yes. Diacritical are the small vowels, if you want to call them that, that you see on top or at the bottom of the Arabic letters. Like right now, okay, see the word taraqabu? Right there with the blue text? You see there's the dash, there's a line on top of the ra. And then there's a shadda, like a small W on top of the qaf. And there's a waw on top of the waw. These are called diacritical signs. Diacritical. Okay? And they're known as the tashkil. In English, in Arabic, they call it the tashkil, which is basically giving the form of the letter or the way it will be pronounced in the Arabic language. As in the statement of the people of misguidance concerning the statement of Allah the Exalted. And then the ayah should be on the other side. Yeah. No, actually, yeah. Turn over, Malish. The text, the ayah jumped one page. Look at the statement of Allah, and Allah spoke to Musa directly. You see it?
Yes.
Tayyip. Who knows the Arabic text? Who knows the Arabic text for this ayah? Aywa. Kharbit. Huh? Okay, wait. How many of you are studying grammar? Mavi? Mushkila. You need grammar. Tayyib. But at some point, try to include this Arabic in the process. The ayah is وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Now, I wish I had a board to explain to you, because this is really interesting. It's complicated, But it's very interesting and it's just amazing. It shows you the amazing nature of the Arabic language. I will not be able to go there. Don't even point at that board. Unless I can fly. And last time I tried, I wasn't able to do it. Just let me explain to you. Type. Okay, how many of you know English grammar? Forget about Arabic grammar. How many of you are okay in English grammar or you forgot everything back in school? Mafi kaban. Do you remember the subject and the object of the sentence? Like you say, the boy ate the apple. The boy is the subject. Ate is the verb. The apple is the object. That which the verb took place. The outcome or the destination of the verb and the subject. In Arabic language, we have the same thing, known as fi'l, fa'il, and maf'ulun bihi. The interesting thing about the Arabic language, however, is that the diacritical mark which you put at the end of the word is the one which lets you know which is the subject and which is the object, because it could be understood in both ways. So whenever the word is the subject of the sentence, known as fa'il, the fundamental principle is that it ends with a waw. It will end with a waw. If it is the subject of the sentence. If it is the object of the sentence, it is maf'ul bihi, it will end with the fatha. You with me? So you say, if you say akala, that's the past tense, he ate. Al-waladu. Because you have a dhamma, you know that this is the subject of the sentence. So al-waladu is the subject. At-tufahata, the boy ate the apple. If you made a mistake in Arabic and you wrote akala al-walada at-tufahatu, it becomes the apple ate the boy. It could happen sometimes. All this changed because of only you mixing these two. Fa'il or maf'ul bihi, marfu or mansub. So focus with me. So when you write a sentence, you see a sentence like this one is written without any diacritical marks. What you put on it will determine the meaning. So if the sentence was akala al-walad at-tufaha, akala al-walad at-tufaha, if you put a dhamma on the walad, fatha on the tufaha becomes the boy ate the apple. If you put fatha on the walad, dhamma on the tufaha becomes the apple ate the boy. You control that by the choice of diacritical marks. Now the ayah in the Quran, remember at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they did not have these diacritical signs. So the ayah is written وَكَلَّمَ Allah Musa تَكْلِيمًا. If you were to put the dhamma over the word Allah, who becomes the doer of the action? Allah. So Allah spoke to Musa directly. What they did, those who wanted to do tahrif, what they did was, they made the term Allah with the fatha, so that it became the object of the sentence and Musa became the subject. So they said, and Musa spoke to Allah directly. Why? Because they don't want to say that Allah spoke. In their mind, if you say Allah spoke, meaning this is wrong. Because only human beings only human beings speak. And Allah is the creator, therefore He cannot speak. So they, in order to deny Allah's quality of speech, they played with the ayah. Now they cannot do this in the Quran. This is what they try to do in their own writing. But if you bring to any Muslim, any imam of a masjid, if someone were to print a new copy of the Quran with this distortion, all of us will automatically find out. Any one of the musallin who is praying behind the imam, he will know. When he hears the imam say, Kallam Allah Musa taklima, say, hey, Kallam Allah Musa taklima. We know the ayah. So no one can play with the book of Allah. Even if they try to change, too many people have it memorized for anyone to be able to make a change that no one notices. It's not like he would make a change and no one will pay attention. Half of the people behind the imam know more than the imam. There's no escape. But the bottom line is, this is what tahrif was. So they played with the ayah. When they wrote it in their own books, they would write, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْرِيمًا. But the actual ayah is written, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْرِيمًا. Very important. The same thing can be said about the other ayah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. The term Allah and ulama. Ulama means scholar. The ayah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ. If it ends with the fatha, is it the subject or the object?
Okay.
The object. Meaning the action is happening to it. It's not the doing or doer of the action. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ. Verily, only those who fear Allah among His creation are the ulama'u. If it ends with the dhamma, is the subject or the object?
Subject.
It's the doer of the action, meaning the only people who truly fear Allah among the creation are the scholars. If you miswrite it, or you do what these muharrifin do, and you write, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Now the ayah means, verily Allah fears the scholars. So now you know how sensitive the language is, and the importance of the Arabic language in the revelation, and why Allah chose that Arabic will be the language of the Quran, because of this this sophistication in the language, and this very, it's just not found in any other language. No other language has this kind of information. But anyways, that should make you appreciate the Arabic language a little more and try to understand it and learn it, because understanding the Quran is based on understanding the language. That's why even if you read the Tagalog translation of the Quran for 20 years, you will never truly understand the Quran until you learn it in the language of revelation. There's always more to learn. Depending on the translation, the translation cannot give you all this information. The translation is going to tell you the meaning of the ayah is this, and you will read it and move on. But when you know these details, you will reflect. You will say, Subhanallah, how amazing this is. And so it will increase your iman and strengthen it bi-idhillahi azza wa jal. So this is the example of tahrif in terminology. A change in the word, this is, I think, repeated text. Tayyib. And your Lord will come, that is the command of your Lord. So they added a word, They said, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. They added, أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. Now, yes, that comes in another ayah, but in this ayah it says that your Lord will come. So the muharrifin added a word, أَمْر, the command of your Lord. This is one form of tahrif, and the other one which we did right now, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. The second type is tahrif in meaning. It is changing a word from its apparent meaning and its reality, and presenting the word with the meaning of another word, such as the statement, verily the meaning of mercy is wanting reward and the meaning of anger is wanting punishment. Very, very wild. They say that the mercy of Allah is not really mercy. Why? Who can tell me why those we're speaking about now, a group of people who deny Allah, Allah's attributes. They say that Allah is not merciful. Who knows why? Why would they say that? According to their logic, which is actually illogical, but why would someone say that? Yes. They say mercy is a sign of weakness. Yeah, you can imagine like a president of a country, and he's ruling them with the iron hand, and he's, you know, strong and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden something happens and he becomes soft and he says, okay, ma fi mushkila, yalla, we'll let him slide. They thought of this, they said, no, this is not a real strong president. You see how weak he was when he was merciful? When he showed mercy and compassion, it decreased his greatness. So they said, now they want to understand Allah in the same way they understand a human being. So they said, Allah showing mercy is a sign of weakness. Allah is all strong. Therefore, Allah is not merciful. That's crazy. Can you imagine what it would be like if Allah wasn't merciful? Yani, in every surah you begin with, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. except one surah. Which one? Surah At-Tawbah, Bara'a. Is there a surah with two bismillah? Is there a surah that has two bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Which one? Surah Al? Surah Sulaiman, that's a new surah, wallah. Yes, it's about Sulaiman, but it's not called Surah Sulaiman. Surah An-Naml, no? Surah An-Naml. Surah Al? Naml, Naml, not Naml. See, be careful. Sometimes when they write Arabic words in English transliteration, they actually distort the pronunciation. Like Fajr. Fajr is F-A-J-R. If you write it F-A-J-A-R, it's called Fajr. Which is not the Arabic word, not Fajr. In fact, Fajr is like someone who became defiantly disobedient. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ. When the Prophet ﷺ described the hypocrite, he said, if he disputes with you, he overreacts. So we have to be picky in our choice or our pronunciation. The word is namil. Namil, not namal. Namil, namil. Namil, which is ants. Anyways. وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانِ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. That there was a letter. إِنَّهَا. إِنَّهَا مِنْ سُلَيْمَانِ. نعم. وَإِنَّهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. أو خطاب. والله, I don't. Either way, it's إِنَّهُ or إِنَّهَا. But the answer that there's this letter from Sulaiman and it begins with بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So there are 114 بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ in the Quran. But one surah doesn't have it, Surah At-Tawbah. However, Surah An-Naml has two. So we still have 114. Ala kulli hal, Allah being Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is just something that is undeniable. So to claim that Allah is not merciful is nonsense. So they say mercy is only what it really means, that Allah wants to give you ajr. Allah wants to give you reward. And anger is not really anger. It is only Allah Azza wa Jal wanting to punish you. We say, is this according to the apparent meaning? No. Is this the understanding of the Salaf? No. Right? Is this the understanding of the Salaf? No, they did not say that this means this and that means that. They left it as is. Merciful, Allah's merciful. Angry, Allah's angry. In which ayah do we speak of Allah's anger? If you don't know this one, I don't know what I'm going to do. Surah Al-Fatiha, where? غير المغضوب عليهم. غضب مغضوب عليهم is a description of those whom Allah's anger is upon. Like the Jews and the Christians. Right? Is Allah happy with the Jews and the Christians, or He's upset with them? Is He angry with them? You guys have to be confident. By the way, yani when I ask a question, I expect everyone to answer. If you don't answer, it's a problem. Meaning you're doubtful. And there are some things which you cannot be doubtful about. Is Allah angry with the Jews and the Christians?
Yes.
Only the Jews? He's okay with the Christians?
No.
What do you think? The ayah saying, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, those whom Allah's wrath is upon. It includes all of them. Someone will say, why is Allah angry with the Christians? Who can answer? If someone said, why? What did the Christians do? Why is Allah angry with them? How do you answer? Let's say a Christian asks you. It says, a Christian will say to you, your religion says that Allah, your God, is angry with us. Why? What did we do? What's the problem? What do you say? I can't understand 20 people at the same time. I tried. So one person. And one person who hasn't answered, actually. I don't want to choose here. I cannot really choose because it requires looking directly and for a long time. So who can give me an answer? How do you answer a Christian? A Christian comes to you and says, your religion, or in your religion, it says that your creator is angry with us. Why? What did we do? We're nice people. I'm a nice Christian. The Christian will be saying that to you. I'm not a nice Christian. So why? What is the problem? What do you answer? You say, I don't know. No, we love you. No problem. Allah loves you very much. Or what? What are you going to do? Come up with your own answer? Yeah, and either no one answers or everyone answers at the same time.
Because they were into Tamthil. They are resembling Allah to a creation.
They associate partners with Allah.
So number one, you say because they associate in partners with Allah. Specifically the Catholics, they worship every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every saint, and every idol. Everything gets a portion of worship. Shirk. Number two.
Because they invented by the saying that Jesus is the Son of God.
Uh-huh. And that's a big crime. One of the biggest crimes in humankind is saying that Allah begot a son. And in Surah Maryam, Mary, you should memorize these ayat. Towards the end, Allah Azza wa Jal says about them, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعَوْا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah says, and they claim, they allege that the Most Merciful has begotten a son. Now look what Allah said. You have said something outrageous. Allah saying that to them. You have said something outrageous. How outrageous is it? He said, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ. The heavens are about to split asunder. وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ. And the earth is about to split open. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًا. And the mountains are about to fall in ruin. Look, the heavens and the earth and the mountains are all about to crush just because they say that Allah begot a son. كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. Tremendous is the word which comes out of their mouth. They're saying nothing but lies. إنهم من إفكهم لا يقولون ولد الله. Among their lies is they say that Allah has taken a son. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And they're nothing but liars. So it's a great insult. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the son of Adam verbally abuses me by saying that I have begotten the son and I am al-ahad al-samad. I am the one, the irresistible, the absolute. I did not beget nor was I begotten. So among the biggest crimes is to say that Allah has a son. And the third crime for which the Christians receive Allah's wrath and anger is that they rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran. And anyone who rejects the Messenger and the Quran is a disbeliever in Allah. So these are three crimes among some that we can name on the spot to explain why this person has attained or deserved the anger of Allah. Because of these very serious blasphemy-based crimes. Accusing Allah of things that don't befit His majesty. Anyways, let's just finish the second part here. Tahrif in meaning is change. This is actually repeated. So this is the second kind where they actually do tahrif in meaning. They say mercy means Allah wants to give you reward, and anger means Allah wants to punish you. We say no. The punishment of Allah has particular words, and the mercy of Allah has particular words, and the ajr of Allah has particular words. Do not say that this means that, or that means this, because you are coming up with your own interpretation. When Allah says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my mercy encompasses everything. When He says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, to the believers He's ever most merciful, we believe Allah is merciful to us. And we don't say that He only wants to give us reward, so He used the word mercy. No, it means that Allah is merciful. And when He wants to mention reward, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah will not waste the reward of the one who does good. He uses specific words for ajr. And the same goes for anger and for punishment. Allah, when He wants to mention punishment, He mentions explicit words. فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ.
العذاب الأكبر. The end of سورة الغاشية. The end of سورة الغاشية. Was it فيعذبه الله؟ أفلا ينظروا إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. So Allah used either Allah will punish him, Allah will cause him to go through the torment, the major great torment. And he said المغضوب عليهم, those whom Allah is angry with. So he used different words, different terminology for different concepts. So with this, inshallah, we will conclude. بإذن الله عز وجل, if you all remain alive and healthy, we will continue on the ta'til and the takif and the tamthil. And so with this, we conclude, inshallah ta'ala. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.